Everybody to core lesson 5 of this new you in the new year. I'm John Gabriel, and in this class we're going to be talking a lot more about understanding the mind-body connection and how to apply it in weight loss and in life. And I can tell you that as I'm learning more and more about the mind-body connection, what I'm really learning is that our mind does not come with an owner's manual. In other words, we have so much power in our minds and so much ability to make changes in our lives, changes in the way we think and feel and act, changes in our habits, how disciplined we are, all of our patterns. We have this. We have an ability to affect all of these things, but nobody really studies this and teaches us how to do it. We're not really taught this in school. We're taught, you know, to work hard, this and that, but we're not really taught how the mind works, how it functions, and how to maximize the power of it to affect your life. Now, you all, for the last 4 weeks, have been using visualization in various ways to get stronger and stronger and to solve your weight problems. My hope is that you continue to do visualization, it becomes a habit, and what you discover is that there's so many other ways that you can apply it that also translate back to more weight loss, health, and vitality. And I'm still using it in more and different ways. 12 years after I have lost my weight, my ability to visualize, my ability to create things in my life, my ability to heal my body has gotten better and better and continues to get better and better. And as a result, I'm now 52 years old and I'm feeling stronger, healthier, and fitter than I did 12 years ago when I lost the weight, which is pretty amazing. And that's largely due to the fact that I make a real serious study of the mind-body connection and how to use the minds. When you don't use the mind in your weight loss or to solve your problems, it's a little bit like you're driving without your hands on the steering wheel. You're going to crash into this tree or that tree. You're not setting the intention. You're not setting the direction. I was last weekend, I was in Perth in Melbourne, and we were doing seminars for 500 and 600 people, and we were all creating an intention together. And when you visualize in a group like that, it's so unbelievably powerful. You feel everybody else's intention and power. And it's a real tool. It's a real energy, as we're going to discuss in this class. It's a tool. It's an energy. It's a science. It's a study. We are not looking at it. We are just doing the same things over and over again, the same yo-yo patterns of trying to cut out this food or that food. We're doing all these different things. We're not really learning how to apply this unbelievable power, and it is our greatest power. Our mind is our greatest power, without exception, and we really have not made a serious study of how to use it, and that's what this class is all about. In addition to all the classes we've had over the previous weeks, in a really kind of passive way, you're introduced to how to tap into the power of your mind. So over the last couple of weeks, we have talked about how to use visualization for weight loss in various ways. We've talked about how visualization is an effective way to communicate to your body that it wants to be thin. That we talked about how visualization is like a language, that the biggest problem that we have between our mind and our body is that the part of our body that's in charge, the part of our brain that's in charge of how fat or thin we should be, is an old ancient part of our brain called the animal brain or the hypothalamus. It doesn't speak English. The part of our brain that thinks and reasons and speaks English is a more recent version of our brain. It's the cerebral cortex. And those two don't interact. They don't communicate well the same way they speak different languages, basically. So if you're trying to speak to somebody who's Chinese and only speaks Chinese and you speak English, you're not going to get very far. And so we have a miscommunication. But if you were speaking to someone in Chinese that only speaks Chinese and you wanted to communicate with them, you could do it with symbols. If you wanted to go to the bathroom, I always use this analogy that you have to go to the bathroom, you can say over and over again, where's the bathroom, where's the bathroom, where's the bathroom, and he won't know what you mean, but if you draw a picture of a bathroom, instantly he knows what you mean. Symbols are the universal language for people that don't communicate with, that don't speak your language, and visualization is using symbols to communicate to your body. So when you make a visual image of exactly how you'd like to look, or when you make a visual image of the weight melting off of you, and you do it when you're in a powerful state, which you are when you practice the visualizations that we're doing, then you're actually communicating with symbols to the consciousness that's in charge of your body, that you want your body to lose weight. And it's really easy after that. All it has to do is make some changes to certain the sensitivity of certain hormones. Once the cells in your hypothalamus become more sensitive to leptin, The cells in your muscles and liver and fat cells will become more sensitive to insulin. And so all those resistances, leptin resistance, insulin resistance, all that goes away, and you lose weight effortlessly once that happens. So it's very, very powerful. And that's the most important thing you want to do, is you want to use symbols. You want to use visualization to communicate to your body. Visualization, as we talked about, reduces stress. So the types of visualizations that we do are a meditation, and studies have shown that meditation like this, just sitting for 5 or 10 minutes, it inhibits the part of your brain which is called the amygdala, which is in the limbic area. It inhibits that part of your brain from generating stress signals. The signals actually stop, and it activates areas of your brain in charge of feeling calm, centered, and relaxed. And then throughout your day, you are creating neural connections in the areas in charge of feeling calm and centered. And in this class, we're going to talk about how to create neural connections and how the brain creates neural connections. That is how the brain creates brain cell connections from one cell to the other. We're going to have a little bit of a mini class in this because it's so important to understand how this works and how and why we create habits. But anyway, you're actually creating the habit of feeling safe with visualization. That's very powerful, because otherwise, throughout the day, you're generating stress signals that are making your body think that you need weight to protect you. It's causing leptin and insulin resistance and all these problems. So with simple 5 or 10 minute visualization, you can reduce stress. You can work through emotional issues. We've talked about that, like the safe, strong, and protected visualization. You can imagine that you are protected with a guardian angel or a column of light. And so you're using visual imagery to work through the feeling unsafe emotionally, and that's very powerful, because that's communicating to your body that you don't need the weight to protect you from emotional issues, because your body gets confused into thinking that you need weight to protect you from emotional issues when you've had emotional trauma, or when you're in relationships currently where there are boundary issues. We talked a lot about that. You can use visualization to heal your digestion. When you project white light through your digestion, you can kill bad bacteria and heal good bacteria. And repair different things, because the mind, as we're going to talk about in this class, has the ability to move life force energy, which has the ability to recreate matter, because it's all just variations of energy. We'll talk a lot about that. But you can use it to heal your digestion, which is so powerful. We also talked about in the last class that you can use visualization to activate the get thin or get eaten adaptation, this idea that you need to be thin to either to protect yourself, either to escape a predator. Some people like doing that, some people don't. If you don't like doing that, do not do it. Or to run after, to chase prey. But in either way, you have this adaptation that you need to be thin for survival reasons. You can use visualization for that. And we talked about all these various ways. Today, I want to go further. I want to talk about ways to use visualization in other areas of your life. And I'm going to give you a lot of information about how the brain works, and how to change habits and create new habits and redirect life force energy and increase vitality and an increase abundance and all these different things. That's what we're going to talk about in this class. So I know we have lots of questions, but it's a very power-packed class, so I want to keep going with the information, and then we'll stop a little bit further along, if we can, depending on how time goes, to answer questions. If we're not able to answer questions, we have a call-in question and answer session in 48 hours, and then we have another makeup call-in question and answer session a week later. So we're going to give you as much opportunity as we can to call in and talk to me or to us and get your questions answered. You can also put your questions in the chat room. We'll do the best we can to keep up. So what are some other ways that we can use visualization to help us with weight loss and in life in general? And this is when the in life in general thing to me is the exciting thing. That's where my real passion lies now, because I've tapped into something and I'm years down the road and I'm like, oh my God, every area of your life, you know, you've got this technique, it's inside you to become so powerful. And weight is just one component of it. It's really, really exciting. It's almost like once you lose the weight, you see it almost as a blessing in disguise that you had in the first place, because it led you to become a much more powerful person. You've never discovered these things. I would have never discovered these things if I didn't struggle. I had this horrible struggle where I had 220 extra pounds on me, 100 kilos extra pounds. So I had to find the solutions that made me so much more powerful. So we can use it in all these different ways, and we'll talk about it. Eliminating junk food cravings. We did touch on this already. I'm going to touch on it just real quickly about how we can use visualization to eliminate junk food cravings. Create positive habits. We're going to that's coming up. I'm going to give you a class on how habits are created in your brain and how brain cells interact with each other and how you can use visualization to create positive habits and eliminate negative habits. You can use visualization to redirect your invisible life force energy, which is what Eastern medicine studies so much. They call it chi and prana, and we all know we have it. It's just we haven't really discovered it yet, but that's okay. We will talk about how to use our mind to redirect energy throughout our body to increase energy and vitality, to change dysfunctional beliefs, to increase your intuition and internal guidance, which is the most powerful asset you can have, because when you have strong intuition, you're always safe because you get a feeling, I should walk away from this situation, and you do, and that's great, because once you walk away, maybe it just protected you from something, or another intuition will say, maybe do business with this person, and it's the smartest thing that you've ever done. Your intuition, we all have it, we've just let it go, it's atrophy, but if we learn how to develop it and use intuition, use visualization to develop it, it becomes a very powerful asset. We can also use this power that we're getting to focus and create intention to create more success in our lives. So these are all the different ways that we're going to talk about how to access this power, how it interacts with our mind and our body, how to use visualization to heal your body, lose weight, and create every aspect of your life, improve every aspect of your life. It's exciting stuff. I'm really excited by this. I can never stop talking about it. In fact, when I did my talk this weekend in front of hundreds of people, I was just supposed to talk for half an hour about my story, and I said, you know what? I don't want to talk about my story right now. I want to talk about the power of your mind and visualization, because it's just too powerful. It's too important, and there's a group of people that are listening. I want to talk about that. And this is what we're talking about today. So let's get into it. So we touched on this already in one of the other classes a few weeks ago about how to use visualization to eliminate junk food cravings. Now, what we've been doing over the past few weeks is we've been using visualization and other aspects of our life, other things, to eliminate the signals that are causing our body to activate our fat programs. We're trying to eliminate the stresses that are activating our fat programs. We use the tug of war analogy, that there's all these stresses that are pulling at us to go get heavier, and we're eliminating them, and so your set point shifts toward thinner as you eliminate them. It's like a tug of war where the rope shifts toward thinner. We talk about this, and that's what we've been doing over the past weeks. You may never need to use this specific visualization for eliminating junk food cravings, because what may happen is your body's not going to want junk food anymore. That happened to me in many areas. I used this visualization once or twice, but for the most part, my body does not crave junk food anymore, and that's happened simply because my body wants to be healthier and fitter and doesn't want the weight anymore. So when your body no longer wants excess weight, you crave less junk food. So you may never need to use this particular visualization. But if you want to expedite the process, or if no matter what happens, there's just like potato chips or pizza or chocolate, there's just something that you just want to eliminate from your life and you feel like it has power over you, you can use visualization specifically to eliminate those junk food cravings. And the way you do it is you imagine eating the food, and then you imagine a negative association, a negative experience. And we talked about this. So this is, again, using symbols to communicate to your body as opposed to language. Language doesn't work in trying to eliminate junk food cravings. For example, if I said to you, I hate chocolate cake, or I hate creamy, delicious chocolate cake, what happens? What happens is you visualize chocolate cake, which makes you want chocolate cake. And the reason is because the brain does not speak to the body in language, it speaks to the body in symbols. So every time you think to yourself, I hate chocolate cake, you see a vision of a chocolate cake, which triggers an impulse in your body to want chocolate cake. You're getting visually triggered to want chocolate cake. That's a classic example of how we don't know how to communicate to our body, and this inherent miscommunication that's happening all day long between our thoughts and our body. So the language doesn't work. You have to use visualization, and this is the way you do it. If you visualize having a bite of chocolate cake, and when you visualize it, you actually have a negative experience. You realize as you're biting into it, you visualize that the chocolate cake is not chocolate. You were wrong. It's mud. It's dirt. It's the most disgusting, muddy, chocolate, green thing you can imagine. It is the most repulsive thing. It smells. There's flies all around it. And you spit it out. You make an instant negative association with that cake, and then you can't even walk by it. I've done this. I did it for Imagine Sugar being ground glass. When I was a teenager, I was smoking cigarettes, and I imagined the cigarettes being when I tasted it, it was the tar from the street. That's really repulsive tar, and I'd spit it out. That helped me break that addiction. You can use it for any addiction you want by creating, visualizing a negative experience. I remember I had a friend who, she loved canned oysters. And when she was traveling all over Australia, she was driving all over, she had her canned oysters. One of them, the can was opened a little bit, and she didn't know it. When she got to it, the oysters were really, really bad. She got really sick. She could never eat them again. 30 years have gone by, and she can't eat oysters anymore because of one negative experience. Well, visualization can do that. You can visualize the negative experience, and you just can't walk by it anymore. You can't touch it. It's an extreme thing to do, but if you feel like there's something that has power over you, you can definitely do it. That's just one example. So I want to talk about how to use visualization to create positive habits. And in order to do that, I want to give you a little mini class about how habits are formed. Because when you understand how habits are formed, you'll understand how all day long, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, that's all we're doing is creating habits. And it's like it functions very similar to a computer program. Our brains function similar to a computer program. That's not a mistake or a coincidence, because we've designed computers based on our logic. So if we design computers based on our logic functions probably similarly, and that's why we design the computers that way. So we've got a logic in the way our brains work that's very similar to a computer, and our computer and our brain is always creating like this computer program in a computer programming way is always creating habits, patterns, and addictions. And the way it works really is that when two brain cells communicate, basically it creates an association that then, if it happens enough, can create a habit. And then if there's a hormonal, either positive or negative hormonal reaction every time the connection happens, it then becomes an addiction. And so your brain is always kind of creating habits, associations, habits, and addictions through these brain cells. If you look at this drawing right here, these are brain cells. So this is one brain cell here. I'm just going to clear this and I'll show you. This is one brain cell here, and this is another brain cell. So the brain cell has this area where this area that I'm circling right here in the brain cell is where it receives information. And this other area is where it's giving out information. So basically what's happening is these two brain cells are communicating from here by what's called neurotransmitters, which are like hormones that communicate. And the first time they do it, they don't respond. They don't necessarily like each other. And we'll talk about it in a minute. But what happens eventually is once these two brain cells communicate enough times, an electrical impulse goes through the brain cell and then comes out this way into the next brain cell. And then you get one brain cell after another brain cell after another brain cell, like dominoes. You get this sort of what's called a neural network. You get this pattern of one brain cell to the other creating some sort of communication. So brain cells, the first time, they're a little bit like people, brain cells. I always say this. Brain cells are like people in that the first time they meet, that is the first time the chemical interaction happens between the brain cells, it forms an impression, and an impression is similar to if you're commuting to work every day and you see someone on the street, you form an impression when you look at them. When your eyes meet, you form an impression. Maybe you've seen them a few times, or maybe you get introduced to them and you become an acquaintance. Maybe after a few more times you go out and you play poker with them or something, all of a sudden they're a friend. Then maybe it goes even further where you have an emotional relationship with them, for example. They become family, or in some way they're creating pleasure for you or pain, which causes a hormonal release, and that becomes addiction, and you actually become addicted to the person. Brain cells are the exact same as people. So what happens is, the first time this sort of interaction happens here, where there's a chemical released here that correspond that touches this next brain cell, this brain cell here isn't necessarily going to fire. It's called firing when it creates that electrical impulse. It's not going to necessarily fire and create this whisper down the lane communication to the next brain cell. It's not going to create this domino effect where it's going to fire and interact with the next brain cell. When it happens a couple of more times, maybe it'll happen. By the third time, a different type of, or a third or fourth, once it happens frequently, a different type of chemical gets released. So in this exchange here, a different type of chemical gets released in between the two, and that chemical creates a really strong connection between the two, and that means this brain cell is going to fire every time, because these guys are now buddies now. So these guys have communicated so many times that they're buddies, and so they got a different type of chemistry going through, and they're connected, and they're always going boom, 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 and all day long the communication is coming from here, and it's going out here, and it's a neural network, and it's because it's happened a lot of times. The more times it happens, the more it becomes inroad, the more it becomes a habit, and can eventually become an addiction. So it's like we're creating paths through our brains the same way we would create a path through the woods. So if you imagine how you would walk through the woods, the first time you walked, you wouldn't know quite where to go. You're feeling your way through. You're going to go around this rock. You're going to go past this tree. You're going to create a pathway through the woods the same way these neural networks form pathways through our brain. The second time, you're going to go through the same pathway because it's already trodden a little bit. Some of the grass has been trodden down, or the foliage. You're going to go the second, third day, fourth time. After like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, you've got a path, and that's the only way you're going to go, and you never think twice. Now, it might be the most direct path. It might be a great path. It might be a horrible path, but you're always going to go in that path because it's always easier. And so you have created a path through the woods, and all day long, we are creating pathways through our brains that are habits. Habits, addictions, and they can be thought habits. Like all day long you're worried about your mortgage. That's a thought habit. It's not the best habit in the world, because every time you think, oh my God, my mortgage, you create a hormonal experience that creates stress, and you're creating stress all day long. It's not helping you solve your problems. It's not helping you pay your mortgage. In fact, it's making you less present, so you don't get to do your work as well. You miss a creative opportunity, and you become less able to pay your mortgage. It's actually a very dysfunctional pathway, but it's a pathway nonetheless, and we do it over and over and over. The more we do it, the more we do it, which means that all day long, most of us, and this is true of most of us, all day long, we have stress habits, dysfunctional habits. Habits about how we feel about ourselves. Oh, you're this, or you're that, or you're so this, or you're so that. Fill in whatever negative expletive you want. I don't want to even say, but okay, you're this, you're that. It becomes a habit. It becomes an addiction. We become addicted to feeling bad. We become addicted to worrying. Does he love me? Will I be able to make ends meet? Will I get the job? It creates a hormonal experience. We actually become addicted to our own dysfunctional habit forming. And we're doing this all day long. And the real reason we're doing this is because we don't know we're doing this. And that's why I use this analogy, like we're driving and we don't have our hands on the steering wheel, and we're crashing into trees all day because we don't know that you're even supposed to put your hands on the steering wheel. So when you become aware of the fact that you are creating paths all day long, and those paths are getting more and more reinforced in your brain, and some of them are dysfunctional, and the ones that are dysfunctional are causing dysfunctional chemistry in your body that are causing you to gain weight, you start to step back and go, okay, let me look at what I'm doing here. Let me change it. And that's where visualization can be very, very powerful. So one way to change a habit is to think about it all day long, like to make an effort. Like, let's say you want to have the habit of going and getting a green juice every day before work. If you do it day in and day out, after a month, 2 months, 3 months of force and consciousness and willpower, it becomes a habit. You've interacted with those brain cells enough times that you've got a path through the woods. That's your pattern now. You have created a positive pattern through using effort and intention. So when you think about it, it takes effort and intention and focus to create a new pathway through your brain. Here's the thing though. Visualization, when you're in a meditative state, and when you are focusing your intention when you're in a meditative state, your brain is 100 plus times more powerful you actually are generating more power. So if you look at the, if you look at one of the equations for energy output I think it's called Ohm's law, where you has to do with the wave of electricity and how high the amplitude of the wave is. So if you look at electricity, there's a wave. See, these are the waves. And how much electrical output you're giving is a function of how high the wave is. So if you look at how high the wave is, that's the amplitude of the wave. Now, when we're just in our normal beta state of consciousness, we've got these waves that are going all over the place. I'll draw a better example. They've got little amplitude, and they're like this. They're kind of, sometimes they're high, sometimes they're low. When you get into a meditative state, the alpha and the theta state, then you get into what I call smart mode. When you're visualizing smart mode, all your brain waves get a very high amplitude. They all get in sync, and you get this high amplitude. And the higher the amplitude of the brain wave, the higher the amplitude of the brain wave, the more powerful in an exponential way. So if it's 10 times higher amplitude, it's 100 times more powerful. And your brain waves are 10 times more powerful when you're in a meditative state, which makes them 100 times more powerful. And then when you take that 100 times more power and you use focus and intention, it's like taking a bulldozer through the woods to clear a path. So if I want to make a path in the woods, it might take me days or weeks. If by walking with a bulldozer, I can do it in a day. With visualization, you can create a habit or a pathway in a day. If you visualize yourself going to the store getting green juice before work, you will do it. If you visualize yourself every morning doing that, it becomes a habit automatically, just like that. And it's the same with thought and feeling habits and beliefs, and we'll talk about all of those things. So you imagine any habit, whatever you'd like to create yourself doing, you're tapping into this bulldozer power when you're in visualization. So anytime you're in a visualization, and we have lots and lots of guided visualizations, as you know, anytime you are in a visualization, if you then imagine whatever you'd like to do, imagine yourself loving yourself, imagine yourself doing well at work, imagine yourself doing stretching in the morning, imagine yourself having a green juice, whatever you imagine, when you're in that state, you are creating a habit because your brain doesn't know there's, you know, a real imagined experience, so it thinks it's really happening, and it's happening when you're in a very highly programmable state because our brains are like computers, and this is really a class in computer programming, and let's face it, no one likes a class in computer programming, but when you realize that your brain functions like a computer, and if you get this class in computer programming, it's going to change your life forever, you do like the class because it's really exciting and it has the ability to change every aspect of your life. So when you realize that you now have this power to bulldoze through positive habits, to create any type of habit you want, positive, to get rid of negative habits and create positive habits, you tap into that and it becomes very powerful. So I actually... I'm going to keep going. I will bring Dan in just for a quick question because I feel bad that I haven't answered any questions yet, and then we'll keep going. But just one or two. Because there's lots more I want to talk about.
Hi, John. I'm here.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, thank you. We've actually only got one question at the moment, but it's a long question. So okay. Is it all right if I go ahead? Yep.
Yeah.
It's Peter is not able to listen to this class, so he's going to listen to the recording. He says, "I'm struggling. Firstly, I'm pretty sure I have sleep apnea, and he's been to see the doctor and he needs to get a referral, but being in the UK, it can take a while. He's been struggling with chronic tiredness, so it makes sense. But given that you're adamant that he can't lose the weight unless this is sorted out, what does he do in the meantime? It is tempting just to give up until it's sorted."
Yeah, so that's already a dysfunctional belief. So anything's possible, and if you do these other things, they will reduce the stress. So sleep apnea is causing stress, but there's lots of different things that are causing stress, and stress becomes cumulative in our body. So when you reduce all the other stresses by healing your digestion of leaky gut and healing the bacteria in your body, and by nourishing yourself and by visualizing the weight melting off of you and working through emotional issues, you're reducing all the other stresses. And so the one other stress that you have, the sleep apnea, isn't going to make or break you. You will get to a point where you can lose the weight without it. It's just great if you can address it, because there is a machine that you can use for a short period of time And that's all you need it for, is a short period of time. And that can solve the problem. So it's great if you can have it. Certainly you can lose the weight. You just have to address the other stresses. You have to be a little bit patient. Rather than giving up, take the exact opposite approach. Be a little bit patient and work through the other issues. And then you'll get to the point where you start losing weight. And then you'll get rid of the sleep apnea, because the sleep apnea is usually caused by weight.
Okay. Well, his additional questions are, secondly, I lost a lot of weight to start off with. He had a health scare around diabetes and was reading the book in December and adopted all the recommendations. But as soon as the blood sugars became okay, he's found he's put a few more pounds back on, and it's beginning to feel like a struggle again. I'm eating all the right kind of stuff, but again, a lot of the less good stuff as well. I'm pretty sure I'm at one of those plateaus you talk about, John. Thirdly, I have some major ongoing stresses that are inescapable. I was very depressed a few years ago and even ended up being hospitalized in 2010. Yeah. The journey back from the abyss has been slow but steady. And 18 months ago, I went on a mindfulness for depression program, then did more mindfulness. And that seems to have worked quite well for him. I started to look for a mindfulness weight loss program and found you. My history is that I put on weight after childhood traumas around the age of 8/9. I did a lot of therapy on this in my 30s and managed, with the help of CBT, to get my weight down to an okay level. The worst, but then a few things started to go wrong. Worst being my daughter developing mental health issues. She's had several suicide attempts. Really nasty legal battle, wife being hospitalized because of the stress. The situation with his daughter is ongoing, but on the whole, he's learnt to cope with it. However, his depression symptoms seem to be returning. He's not sure if that's because he's using food to medicate his emotions, or because he's doing less of the depression mindfulness because he's now doing more of your visualizations. He says, I realize what I've written here may seem pretty negative, so I want to say that I have been really enthused by the program and I've started to create some of my own visualizations, like imagining my metabolism and overdrive slipping out of my fat, like taking off a coat of armor that I don't need anymore. I'd like to hear from you what you think of what I need to be doing and what I haven't started to do, possibly.
Yeah, well, so obviously you have multiple triggers, and it's great that you lost weight initially, so because it shows that your body is responsive to working through the issues, but it's going to take time for you, because a lot of the issues that you have, the stress and the depression and the fact that you've got external issues that can trigger those, it's an ongoing process. I would continue to do the mindfulness stuff, because the mindfulness stuff benefits you. And I would do a lot more work with healing your digestion, because healing your digestion will help with the depression, and it will help with any type of inflammation that you have that's causing weight. So I know you've got, obviously you do have emotional struggles and mental struggles, and you're working in that direction. Continue to work in that direction. Go further into the digestive area, because they very much complement each other, because the gut is like a second brain, and will help with the depression regardless of what's going on in your life. So I'd like you to go further with that. I'd like you to be patient and understand that there's going to be times when you're feeling sad or feeling overwhelmed or feeling depressed or hopeless. Allow that to be, but keep focusing on the good things. And over time, what will happen is you will trend toward fitter and fitter. Maybe it won't be a straight line. You know, you lose some weight as you did. Maybe there'll be a little bit of a rebound, but don't let it accelerate into something more. Just allow it to be, but keep doing the things that work. The mindfulness works for you. Keep doing it. The visualizations work for you. Really heal your digestion. Keep adding all the foods that are working for you. And then what you'll find is you'll start to lose weight again. Then you might have another plateau, and then there might be some wavering back and forth. That's okay. It'll be, if you follow the trend will be toward fitter and fitter. It may not be exactly a straight line until a lot of these issues get resolved. So you need to just be a little bit patient rather than take the attitude that it's too much and it's not happening quick enough. Allow yourself to go in a non-linear path toward healing, because the reality is that healing a lot of times is not linear. You are improving. You are doing better. If you ever get to the point where you lose enough weight so you don't sleep apnea anymore, you'll have an exponential improvement in all areas of stress and depression and weight loss. That's great. But my sense is, if you really go a lot further in the digestion right now, because that's an area that really impacts depression, and stress, and then you you'll make much quicker progress. So keep up the great work, and don't measure it too closely right now. Just focus on creating positive habits and taking positive actions.
Okay, thanks, John. We've actually got a couple more questions. Can I ask those?
Sure, go ahead.
Sandra says, if in our visualizations we see ourselves as thin, won't our primitive brain believe that then and not that we're in need of losing weight to get there?
No. What will happen is if you imagine yourself losing the weight, you're basically communicating to your body that you need to lose the weight. Your body knows the weight that you are, and if you're not in sync with the vision that you have and the weight that you are, your body will make an adjustment so that it gets to the weight that you're imagining.
Okay, thank you. Roberta says, I find that I have a reaction almost as if someone is taking something away from me when I think about changing my habits. I know it's from childhood. It's a total rebellion. How do I deal with this?
Yeah, so this, rather than actually change your habits, explore changing habits in your visualizations and see what comes up for you. So whatever the habit is that you want to change, you want to eat healthier, explore eating healthier. So explore eating a salad in your visualizations. What does that feel like? What comes up for you? And kind of dance with it. Go back and forth. If you feel a rebellion to it, leave it alone. If you feel like you're getting positive benefit from it, always start with the visualization rather than the discipline. Because as soon as you make it about discipline, you're going to feel rebellion. And that is not going to work. That's going to be dysfunctional. Your body's going to fight you. So play with it in the visualizations. Imagine loving salads. Imagine loving yourself. Imagine that you can have whatever you want, but this is what you're choosing. Just imagine it in your visualization and see how it affects in real life, because in real life, you may actually get to that place where you feel like you can have whatever you want, but you actually want the salad, because that's what you want. You don't want to discipline yourself and get into this rebellion dynamic. What you want is your body to legitimately want those things, and that can happen first by starting with the vision.
Okay, thanks. Cleo says, I lost 2 kilos on the safe, strong and protected visualization for a week. But when I moved on to the next visualization, I actually gained back 1 kilo.
Okay.
So how long should I stay on a certain visualization?
Yeah, so this is where you make it your own. So the real issue is whatever your issues are, you have to look at this course. This course isn't like, this is not an accounting course, right, where we're getting a degree and you got to pass a test at the end, and some people are going to pass it, some people are going to fail. It's not a class like that. There's no passing, there's no failing. What this is teaching you what the issues are that you need to work on. So obviously the issues for you particular, and it's not for everybody, but for you particular, are emotionally based, and you're getting great benefits from the Safe, Strong, and Protected. You can listen to it forever. Listen to it for as much as you want. This is not one size fits all. Maybe the other issues don't really apply to you. Sometimes there's just one issue and you've got to address those issues. Other times it's multiple things, and it's accumulation of things. So from taking the information and exploring, you're getting a feel of what works for you. Just be patient, keep exploring, and do the things that work for you. Continue to do that, the Safe, Strong, and Protected, for as long as you like. You can do both. You can try different visualizations, do more than one. There's no limit to how much visualization you can do, so you can play with that. But certainly, if you're getting benefit from the Safe, Strong, and Protected, continue to listen to that for as long as you like.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. My Lou says, what can you do when you're having problems visualizing things? You don't see images.
Yeah, that's totally fine, and that's to be expected. You know, visualization is a muscle that gets stronger over time. So if you imagine for a second, or if I can use this analogy, if you had your left hand, or if I had my left hand my whole life tied to my body, I never used it, it would be weak. I wouldn't be able to lift a pencil. But eventually, if I then started using it, I lifted every day, I lifted weights every day, my left hand would get as strong as my right hand, or my left arm would get as strong as my right arm. Visualization is a muscle. We don't use it anymore. We don't use imagination and visualization. So feel it, think it, or simply just listen to the visualization and let your mind wander. All those things will benefit you. Eventually, you will go into deeper states and you will get better and better at it. It will get stronger. The muscle will get stronger and stronger. This is where you are now, and you only will get better and better. And it's totally fine. You'll still get benefit.
Okay, thanks. Christine says, I hear you talking, continually saying that we should be working on issues. What exactly do you mean by that? Should we be going to therapy or counseling? I guess I'm not clear about that.
That depends on you. So when I say that, I'm talking to somebody who actually has work that needs to be done. So Those are emotional issues that we recommend. We put together a team of coaches that work through emotional issues through a process called cellular release, which is a very deep state of visualization and guided meditation to help resolve emotional issues. We also use tapping. We even created a whole movie called Tapping for Weight Loss. These are good techniques for working through emotional issues, listening to Safe, Strong, and Protected. We had a whole class on it a couple classes ago on working through emotional issues. That may or may not apply to you. For you, I don't know your situation, but for you, it might be that your digestion needs healing, that you need to nourish yourself better, you need more magnesium. I don't know, but when I say that, I'm talking about the people that have specifically said it all started when this emotional thing happened or that emotional thing, and I've got all these stresses and they're triggering me. Then you have to work on them through visualization, through tapping, through cellular release, through counseling, through any mechanisms that you can that help you feel safer and work through past traumas that are still affecting you. Because the way past traumas, and Dan, I'm just going to say this real quick, and then I'm going to keep going because we've got a lot of material to cover. But the way past issues that can affect you in the present is, let's imagine, God forbid, somebody lives in a city, and they've lived in a city for 30 years and nothing ever happened. Then, God forbid, they get mugged. And then what happens is that was a trauma. So it was an issue that may need to be worked through because it was such a painful trauma that every time they're on that same street corner, they feel unsafe. And that unsafeness causes chemistry in your body that causes your body to say, oh, we need to be bigger so this person doesn't bother us. Or maybe they see someone that looks like the attacker and that causes them stress. So those are issues that need to be worked through. And you can get to a place where you have resolved the trauma, you've let it go through these cellular release, tapping, visualization, counseling, all these different methods. You get to a place where it was a trauma, you've let it go, you no longer feel unsafe on the street corner if you see someone like that. This is just an example. And that's what I mean by working through issues. Those issues can still affect us if we haven't worked through them. Okay, I want to keep going, Dan, if I can, Thank you very much. I want to talk about the next way that we use visualization to help us, and that is we can use visualization to increase our energy and our life force vitality by opening up our energy channels. So over the weeks, I've talked periodically every once in a while about life force vitality. So Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine, and Indian Ayurvedic medicine, talk about that our body is activated by an invisible life force energy. I have to take a little bit of a drink. Hold on. Excuse me. I apologize. I had some super greens go down the wrong way. Anyway, so Eastern medicine talks about how our bodies have an invisible life force energy. And we all kind of know that our bodies must have an invisible life force energy. It's just obvious. How else can we move? I mean, you think about something as simple as this. Imagine you want to move your finger. You want to just point your index finger. That's a thought. So a thought comes from your mind. Your mind is not physical. Everybody can agree with that. The mind is not physical. Moving your finger is physical. How do you get from a non-physical thing, which is a thought, moving your finger, to moving your finger, which is a physical thing? What is the interface of that? Well, Eastern medicine says that we've got this invisible life force energy that interacts. It's subtle enough energy that it can interact with our mind, but it's tangible enough energy that it can interact with our neurons and our electrons. So when you have a thought that you want to move your finger, the life force energy is powerful enough to then move the electrons in your brain, which stimulate the neurons, which stimulate the nerves, impulses, and muscles, and the next thing you know, your finger is moving. In Western medicine, we don't talk about life force energy because we have not been able to detect life force energy. Sure, maybe you can make the argument you have to have life force energy, it has to be some kind of invisible energy, but we don't know, we've never been able to see it or detect it, so we don't give it any validation. But what's interesting is that we did not know, we were never able to detect electricity prior to a couple hundred years ago. We didn't know that X-rays existed and gamma rays and all these different things and radio waves until 100 years ago, but they exist and they're very powerful. They can blow up the whole world. They're so powerful. We didn't even know they existed until we had instruments to detect them. Gravity, here's a really interesting one. So gravity, there is a force. We know it must be. You jump out the window, you fall. happens every time. We did not know what type of force it was. We never were able to detect gravitational waves. Einstein came up with a theory in the 1920s that gravity is a wave. That there are gravitational waves and they pull you one body toward the other. Just a theory. We were able to detect it. Do you know when we were first able to detect gravitational waves? We were first able to detect gravitational waves 1 week ago. This is a really exciting time at the time of this recording. This is a really exciting time in our history. We have just detected gravitational waves. Prior to that, we had no proof that gravity was a wave. We just knew that if you jump out the window, you fall. And in the same way, you know that if you think about moving your hand and you move it, there's an invisible energy that moves it. So that invisible energy has been studied for thousands and thousands of years in other countries and other cultures. And I have studied it now for a very long time because I believe that the understanding that life force energy, how it moves through your body, how to get it to move through your body more, how to increase it, cultivate it, and direct it is the key to vitality, health, and fitness. And I'm not alone because in India, Eastern medicine, they have the exact same understanding. So their belief is that all disease, for example, manifests first as a blockage in this life force energy. And when they give you, a Chinese doctor gives you acupuncture, for example, those needles are meant to open up those life force energy channels and unblock the problem so the life force energy can flow. So we've got this life force energy, which I've been studying now for a very long time, and I can tell you that it's the key to vitality. It's the vitality. It is life. And having all that energy, lots of it, and having it go through your body, you feel alive. You feel this energy. And understanding this energy, to me, is the key to understanding to the mind-body connection. So we've got these energy channels, and they run through our body the same way that blood runs through our body. So our blood runs through our body through these big arteries and veins, and then littler veins, and then even little smaller capillaries. But it basically covers every cell of your body. You're going to get blood to every cell of your body through these channels. Well, again, we can't measure life force energy, but the cultures that have measured life force energy say that we have these life force channels and that they're the same. We've got major super highways of life force energy that go up and down the spine, and we've got smaller energy channels that go through the organs and through the feet and through all the different pathways. And they've mapped out these energy channels really, really well. And what's interesting is there's a book called Genie in Your Genes by Dawson Church, which is a really good book about energetic medicine. And they did do studies on the energetic impulses on your on where the energy channels are supposed to be versus just on your skin. So they tested energetic impulses on your skin versus on where the life force energy should be in your skin. And the energy readings every time are completely different. The places where the energy channels are supposed to be, the way the energy readings are completely different. It's a really nice, really great read. I recommend it, and some really interesting studies. I also talk about the studies in my book, Visualization for Weight Loss. But anyway, these energy channels that flow through our body can get blocked. They can get blocked for various reasons, but when they're blocked, it creates lots of problems because literally life force is not able to go into areas of your body. So you're not getting enough life force in your liver, not getting enough life force in your digestion, and literally that it causes a kind of decay, the stagnation and decay, which causes you to become quite literally devitalized. So according to Eastern medicine, blocked energy channels cause you to become weak, devitalized. They cause diseases. I have a friend, Robert Peng, who's a Qigong master. We did a segment of Qigong for Weight Loss with him. And he's cured many people of chronic illnesses, such as chronic fatigue and even cancers and things that we as doctors will tell you are uncurable. But really when a doctor says something's uncurable, what they're really saying is we don't know how to cure it. But he uses a totally different method. He unblocks the energy channels. And he even cured Bob Hawke, the previous Prime Minister of Australia, Bob Hawke's daughter. He cured Bob Hawke's daughter of chronic fatigue. And if you go to his website, robertpeng.com, you see a video of him zapping energy through Bob Hawke and Bob saying, feeling the energy going through him and all this different stuff. But when you've got blocked channels, it causes disease, it causes sugar cravings, it causes you to become stressed out. You just become weak, tired, and it causes a vicious, vicious cycle. So it's a vicious cycle where blocked energy channels cause you to become tired, they cause you to become stressed, life is harder, and then you start craving junk food because you need more energy. That causes you to gain weight. That goes to more blocked energy channels because you start feeling bad and having more weakness and eating junk food, and that blocks your energy channels. And that causes this vicious, vicious cycle where you get more and more blockages. So blocked energy channels literally means that life force is being cut off in certain areas. Certain areas are dying, decaying on an energetic level. And certainly it's all of this all new stuff to us. But you know what? I don't want to wait the 50 or 100 years for Western science to put their stamp of approval on this stuff. This stuff works for me. I know it does. And I want to teach it, so that's why I'm imparting it to you. So what blocks your energy channels? That's the next question. So according to Eastern medicine, negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, stress, they block your energy channels because your energy channels kind of constrict to protect you when there's fear out there from getting whatever the negative energy is. So if somebody's like angry and screaming at you, your energy channels are going to restrict a little bit so that you don't get that negative energy in you. And because your energy channels restrict, it creates blockages. So they kind of constrict, they get tighter, and you get blockages. The other things that cause energy channels to constrict, to get blocked is negative thoughts in general, because they're like a lower type of thought, a thicker type of thought, so a thicker energy. And I know this is getting esoteric, but this is out there. This is real stuff, and it really works. But the same way that our mind is an energy, our body is an energy, even though we see it as physical, quantum physics actually tells us it's actually an energy, not a physical body. It's actually energetic. Our life force is energy, but mental energy can be either higher energy, like positive energy, positive thoughts like I love you, life is good, or negative thoughts, I hate you, life is bad, this is hard. Those negative thoughts are a lower grade energy that get caught in your energy channels and cause blockages. So in all these different ways, through negative thoughts, fear, stress, your energy channels block and the life force can't get into your energy channels. So we want to create a more positive type of thing. So positive thoughts are a higher energy, higher vibration, easier to flow through. They can flow and open up your energy channels. Negative thoughts are a lower type of energy that create blockages. You think of it like higher emotions are like clear water, and negative emotions are like a thick molasses that gets stuck, and then the energy can't flow, and that creates this negative spiral that we've talked about, where you're chronically exhausted, tired, blocked. You're craving junk food all the time, makes you heavier, that makes you sadder, and you create this negative spiral. You can create a positive spiral by opening your energy channels. When you open your energy channels, you've got more energy. Because you have more energy, you're not craving junk food because you don't need it, because junk food is just the most basic form of energy. It's a very low form of energy that causes a lot of problems. You don't need it as much. Life becomes less stressful because it's easier to get through the day. You start losing weight because you're craving less junk and having less stress. You feel happier because it feels good to have more vitality in your body. You feel more positive, and it develops a positive positive scenario, a positive spiral in your life where you're getting more and more open and more life forces flowing through your body. Now, how do you unblock your energy channels? This is the most important point, and this is what we're leading to in terms of this class, is that energy moves with mind. Remember I said before, if you want to move your hand, you want to move your finger, you start with your mind. So the mind thinks, lift your finger, or lift your hand. You have a thought, I want to catch a ball, I want to throw a ball. It's a thought. The life force energy moves through your body, it moves through your neurons and creates this vibration in your electrons, which then your nerve impulses and your muscles fire, and you move. So energy moves with mind. But you can use your mind through visualization to unblock your energy channels. When you imagine light, if you notice, because we've been building up to this for a long time, but you notice in all the visualizations, I always imagine you're in an ocean of light, and all this light comes rushing into every part of your body. You're using mind to actually guide invisible energy through your body to unblock your energy channels, and you can do that. So when you use visualization with your mind, when you imagine light, just like we do in our visualizations, unblocking your energy channels, you imagine lots of energy coming into your body and filling your body with light, you're actually moving life force vitality to all the different places that your body so desperately needs it, and you are healing it. It's very, very powerful. You can use visualization to change dysfunctional beliefs the same way that you change habits. So if you imagine every cell of your body saying the repeating the desired belief, like, I am lovable, weight loss is easy. Whatever the belief is, you can very, very easily change it with visualization. So this one, we're going to talk about how you use visualization to strengthen your intuition. So to me, one of our greatest assets, and this is, again, going further and further into the mind-body connection and understanding. First, we talked about looking at our brain as a computer that we need to learn how to program, and we're understanding the mechanics of that, to looking at our mind as a tool for opening up our invisible life force energy channels and getting life force vitality through our brain. Right now, I want to talk about how to strengthen your intuition, because intuition is another form of sense that we all have that we have ignored. And I can tell you, over the years, my intuition's gotten stronger and stronger. So a lot of people will tell you, like when we do an Ask John, and I talk to people, and they're telling me about how the flax seeds, this and that, and I say, well, tell me about what happened when you were four or whatever, because I'm getting an intuition. And they're like, oh, I forgot all about that. When I was four, I had tonsillitis and had antibiotics and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's intuition. Intuition is this invisible knowing, this invisible sense. The same way we have eyes and ears that sense the world, we've got this intuition that we don't use. It's atrophied. As kids, we've used it, and then it atrophies. But it doesn't atrophy in all of us. Some of us keep the intuition open, and then we hear amazing stories. I always tell this story about Coach Melinda. So one of our UCE coaches, that's the ultimate coaching experience, the six-month coaching program we have. One of our UCE coaches is Melinda Jacobs. Melinda has a very powerful intuition. And this is one of the most amazing examples of how intuition, when it's functioning right, and we all have it, you know, you can say that there's something special about her. And I would argue that the only thing that's special about her is that her intuition has an atrophy. She has kept it alive and kept it functioning. So intuition, when it's working, is so powerful for keeping you safe. So this is an example. So this is in 2012 in Aurora, Colorado. It's a true story. Melinda Jacobs, our coach, you can see her in the support group. You can actually even have sessions with her in the ultimate coaching experience. Our coach, Melinda, in 2012, she goes to a movie in Aurora, Colorado. She goes to see the midnight showing of Batman Returns in Aurora, Colorado, 2012, with her friend. She walks into the movie theater, and she gets a funny feeling. Her intuition tells her this is not a safe place. There's nothing about the place, logically, that would make you think it's not safe. She feels intuitively it's not safe. She says to her friend, we have to go. Her friend says, what do you mean we have to go? We're in the midnight edition. You know, this is a premiere. Batman Returns. I'm not missing this. She says, we got to walk out of here. We have to go right now. You know, and you can imagine being the friend and saying, okay, Melinda, whatever. You know, and then there goes the night. But she pulled her friend out of there. And many of you will remember that shooting. That's the Aurora, Colorado shooting where a gunman shot 70 people in the movie theater. That same movie theater, just minutes after she left. 12 people were killed, 70 people were shot. Her intuition, not everybody's, her intuition said it's not a safe place to be, and she did not go. What was it about her? Is she gifted? Is she special? She is the way everyone's supposed to be. That's the argument that I would make. She's the way everyone's supposed to be. It's just we don't place any emphasis on this sense, this invisible sense. We don't use it. We don't develop it. We don't cultivate it. So we don't have it. She still has it. I have noticed over the years that my intuition is getting stronger, 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 stronger. And I was a very logical, linear person. I went to business school and studied science. And I never cultivated my intuition until I started meditating. And then my intuition got stronger and stronger. So I have an example of how intuition saved my life. I used to ride my bike up and down this dirt road when I lived in Western Australia. And I always used to, when I get to the top of the hill, I'd always do this thing where I'd glide down the hill with my hands in the air like a bike racer. It was a good feeling. It just made me feel happy. And I'm gliding down the hill with my hands in the air like a bike racer. One time I get to the top of the hill, I'm just about to do it. And this thought, this feeling says, don't do that. And hold on to the steering wheel. Hold on to the handlebars. I held on. It was just a second. In another instant, a six-foot kangaroo came rushing out right at me. Not to attack me or anything. It just got scared. It was by the side of the road. I didn't see it. It just got scared and started crossing the road. And if I hadn't had my hands on the handlebar, I would have smashed right into it. It would have been a horrible situation for both of us, I'm sure. And my intuition told me, don't do it, and I listened. And that was 10 years ago, and now my intuition is happening all the time. When I'm talking to people, I just feel this, I feel that. So we have this intuition, And it has atrophied over time, and we can actually develop it again. This whole class is about saying you're functioning as a human in modern day life. You can be a superhuman, and you're not a superhuman in that you really are super. You're a superhuman in that you're doing things that other people aren't doing to tap into areas of you that other people aren't tapping into. There was a philosopher, P.D. Ouspensky, in the 1920s that said that our mind-body is like a intergalactic spaceship that we're tugging around by a rope. And what he means by that is we don't know how to operate it. And so we're tired all the time because we're pulling this spaceship. It's an analogy, but we're pulling this spaceship by the rope. When you do the type of studying that I'm suggesting you do right now, you learn how to start the engine, you know how to drive it and fly it. It becomes much easier to fly a spaceship from one place to another than to drag it by a rope. So we're learning things. So this type of study through doing visualization like this will develop your intuition. And when you develop intuition, it makes you feel safe all the time. And when you feel safe all the time, you are not creating the stress hormones that are activating your fat programs because you're worried all the time. One of the reasons we're just frantic all the time is because no matter how smart we are, we can't really protect ourselves. You could be the most brilliant stock investor in the world and study this stuff and have the best programs. But if there's some terrorist explosion tomorrow and you got all your money going in one direction, the wrong direction, you're going to lose it all. And no matter how smart you are, you can't protect yourself from that. But your intuition can. No matter how smart you are or how good you are at martial arts, let's say you're a great fighter, you can't protect yourself from a piano landing on your head. You know, a piano could drop out of a building and land on your head. You can't protect yourself from that, but your intuition can. And I believe that one of the reasons we're so frantic all the time is we're trying to protect ourselves through our mind, and our mind's living in the present, living here now. It doesn't know the future. It imagines the future, but it can't really sense the future. But your intuition can sense what's going to happen. Your intuition can sense your life path. Your intuition can sense where you're meant to be, and you get to rely on that over time, and you feel safer and safer. So you tap into this quote superhuman ability, but it's not really, it's just regaining what was ours that we lost. And we've lost it in this culture. There's many cultures that have intuition. The Aborigines will feel what's going on in any part of the world with somebody else, and they'll communicate intuitively with them, not because they're superhuman, just because they haven't lost it. Our culture has lost it. So we're becoming superhuman relative to our culture, but we need to, because our culture is very, very antiquated in terms of what it is that we're capable of doing. So intuition, so meditation and visualization is a way, it's a path to strengthening your intuition. And the reason is because your intuition is like a sixth sense. It's not one of your five senses. It's what someone would call a third eye, or a lazy third eye, I would say. It's like a lazy eye, like a kid has a lazy eye. And when a kid has a lazy eye, if you ever see a little kid, he's got a lazy eye, the answer is to put a patch on the good eye. So I remember I was babysitting this kid who was 5 years old. He had really cute kid, beautiful blue eyes, big eyes. One of them was lazy. And when you have a lazy eye, it gets lazier and lazier, and the other one gets stronger and stronger. So for 1 week, he had a patch on the good eye. It forced the muscles of the lazy eye to get stronger and stronger. When you are sitting in meditation, when you are visualizing, you are putting a patch on your five senses. For the most part, your eyes are closed. You might be listening to a visualization, but you're not moving. You are subduing your five senses, and that gives your sixth sense a chance to get stronger and stronger. And as your sixth sense gets stronger and stronger, you develop your intuition, your feeling capability. You can call it whatever you want, but it's a feeling capability. It gets stronger and stronger over time, and it makes you feel safer. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, we'll just go real fast here. We can use visualization to manifest our dreams. I find, and you can try this, that anything I imagine happening in a day is much more likely to happen. It's happened so many times for me. I remember when I just lost my weight, and I had gone to a Doreen Virtue Hay House event in Perth, Western Australia. There were 1,000 people there. And I thought to myself, I want to be up on this stage one day teaching to people about my weight loss approach and about becoming more powerful. And I used to visualize it every morning. And sure enough, a few months later, I got a call from someone inviting me to give a talk. It was at that very, very venue, and the next thing I know, what I had been visualizing all that time had come to pass. I was on that stage. It wasn't because I called the venue and tried to arrange a seminar. It wasn't any of those things. I just visualized it, and it happened, and I have found that happen to me so many times. When I wanted to write the book Visualization for Weight Loss, I visualized Hay House I wanted Hay House to be the publisher. I visualized Hay House being the publisher. The next thing I know, I find out just by coincidence, I won a contest to have dinner with the president of Hay House. The next thing I know, I'm having lunch. We didn't have dinner. I had lunch with the president of Hay House. I gave him my proposal, and we published visualization for Wayless. I find when I visualize something happens that allows it to happen. And you can get a little bit metaphysical about it, but really, if you visualize any type of thing you want to happen, your business becoming more successful, it's just like you're tuning in to the idea of success. You can visualize abundance. We have this abundance visualization. You just visualize abundance coming in from all areas, for like an invisible ocean, coming into your body, charging your cells with it, and then imagine your career expanding or whatever your desired thing you want to have happen. And it's a tool. And it works really, really well. And it's a tool that gets better and better. If it doesn't work the first time, second time, whatever, it's because it takes time to get stronger and stronger in this area. It's like you are going into a martial arts class and you're looking at these people that have been doing it for 30 years that can break a brick or whatever. And you go, I can't break a brick. It doesn't work. Well, it does work. You just have to do it and you got to get stronger. So all these visualizations that will help you with weight loss will also help you get stronger at being more focused in creating the things that you want in your life. And you find this almost magical cause and effect relationship between what you visualize happening and what happens. Jim Carrey, I mean, you hear crazy stories. Jim Carrey, when he was a starving actor, wrote himself a check for $10 million. He used to visualize himself being a successful actor. He wrote himself a check for $10 million for acting services rendered, dated it 3 years into the future, and then 3 years later, he got a check for $10 million for the movie Dumb and Dumber. It's just crazy, some stories you hear, but more than anything, you visualize doing things and being successful. Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was a bodybuilder, used to visualize over and over and over again. He would visualize being up on stage winning the tournament. He said, yeah, and he was quoted saying, I visualized it happening so many times, it had to happen. There was no way it wasn't going to happen. Carl Lewis, the Olympic sprinter from the 80s, he won 9 gold medals. He used to visualize himself being the first person through the ribbon at the start of every single race. Tiger Lewis, every time he hits the ball, he visualizes where he wants it to go. Michael Jordan would visualize over and over again, winning a game, being successful. The real winners in the world, Oprah uses visualization. The super, super successful people, they have tapped into this power. And I want all of us to do it. I have now tapped into this power for myself, and I'm going at my own rate. But you can all do it. It's available to all of us. All of these it's like I'm saying, hey, press this button, it starts the engine, and you don't have to pull this thing by a rope anymore. You can drive it. What I'm saying to you is do these things, do these simple visualizations every single day. The ones that we're talking about here, you will reduce stress, you will increase your vitality, you will increase your intuition, you will feel safer, you will be more able to manifest all the different things that you want to manifest in your life, and you will transform your body and your life. And it's just a matter of time. All you have to do is start by listening to visualization every single morning. So what I'd like you to do this week, you can listen to whatever visualization you want. You can continue to listen to safe and protective visualization if you want. But if you want to try a new visualization, I'd like you to listen to the abundance visualization and imagine everything you want. Imagine the weight melting off of you. Imagine yourself having successful life, successful career, successful relationships. Imagine this ocean of energy coming into you. You'll see it in the visualization. Make that this week's visualization and have it encompass every aspect of your life. And then going forward, after this course is over, listen to a visualization every single morning. Use this ability to create an intention. It's putting your hands on the steering wheel. Steer your life with intention, with a vision. See yourself craving healthy food. See the weight melting off of your body. See yourself getting the fruition. Whatever the thing is, make it a habit. Even if you're lying in bed, I like to sit up and I meditate for. Sometimes I meditate for hours, but I only need to meditate for a couple of minutes to make it work. And that's all you need to do for now. Just sit up, meditate, listen to the visualization. Don't worry about it. If your mind wanders, you'll get better and better and better. And you will tap into this unbelievable power that we all have that is the secret to success in weight loss, in health, in vitality, in fitness, and in every aspect of your life. And when you lose your weight in the coming weeks, months, or however long it happens, it will happen. And when it happens, you will look back and say, wow, in a strange kind of way, this weight was a blessing in disguise because I am so much more powerful and I am tapped in to the way my mind and body and energy system works so that I can stay healthy and vital and successful beyond my wildest dreams forever. And I'm only going to get better and better and better. And that's what I wish for all of you, that you get better and better, healthier, fitter, and more vital. And this is just a first step. And this course transforms you, changes your direction, so that each of the coming weeks, months, and years, you are getting progressively and exponentially healthier, fitter, and more vital. So other action steps, if you can do, these are action steps that we already talked about. Do an afternoon visualization, like an afternoon stress reduction break. If you do an afternoon visualization, if you can listen to the evening visualization, you're going to sleep. That's all great. The ongoing steps, you adopt them at your own rate. You want to be drinking more water, preferably with apple cider vinegar or lemon. You want to take probiotics. Have green juices first thing in the morning or in the afternoon, or super greens. When you're hungry, eat a healthy breakfast with real foods. If you don't want to eat breakfast right away, that's okay. As long as when you are hungry, it could be 12 o'clock when you're hungry. As long as when you are hungry, you're not craving junk food. If you're craving junk food, it's a problem. But if you're not hungry till 12 o'clock, that means your body wants to let go of weight. You no longer have to balance your blood sugar anymore because your body is burning fat for blood sugar. So you've crossed over. So if you get to that point where you're just not that hungry anymore, that's okay. Let it go. Don't eat. But when you do eat, eat real foods that have protein, omega-3, and live food, and eat them throughout the day when you're hungry. And if you're not hungry, don't eat, because you can now balance your blood sugar with burning fat, and that's fabulous. Take more probiotics and digestive enzymes. We talked about doing an afternoon stress break. Do incorporate the GM fitness in your own time and space when you're ready, or some kind of yoga or tai chi. And then listen to the evening visualization we also just talked about. So these are just ongoing action steps. Adopt them at your own rate. Each habit that you adopt that's a positive habit becomes an asset that pays dividends forever. So adopt them at your own rate. And in general, whenever you're eating a meal, ask yourself, is this real food or not? Did this food exist 10,000 years ago in this form? If so, it's probably going to be better for you or good for you than if it's processed food. So keep that in mind. Try to eat as real as possible and use this power of your mind to transform your body. So thanks, everyone, for attending this class. And I've loved giving this class with you over the last previous weeks. And I look forward to talking to you in our Ask John in 48 hours. And then we'll do another one the week after. And either way, I love working with you. The members area is there for you to enjoy for as long as you like. And we are there. We'll try to help you however we can. And I wish you tremendous, tremendous health, happiness, fitness, and vitality. Okay. Thanks, everyone. And we'll speak to you soon. Take care.